Good morning. Welcome to our worship service today. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, you have made your light shine in this world of darkness when your Son, Jesus Christ, was born into this world to save us. We ask you to enlighten our hearts by your word of grace as we come before you today in worship and praise. Fill our hearts with your love and your grace and give us the confidence of your continued presence. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for today is Lift Up Your Heads, Ye Mighty Gates. Please rise. I invite you to follow along with our order of service that's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin on the top of page 3. We begin this worship service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children. But we have disobeyed Him, and have deserved only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against You and do not deserve to be called Your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy upon me according to Your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven you all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. Through faith in him, which was created in you by the Holy Spirit, you are his own dear child. May God give us the strength to live according to his will. Amen. We pray. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, to make ready the way of your only begotten Son, that by his coming we may believe in him as our Savior from sin and be enabled to serve you with pure hearts, minds, and lives. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first scripture reading for today is taken from the Old Testament book of the prophet Isaiah. We read here from chapter 40, verses 1 through 11. Now, these words are words of comfort. In fact, if we ever wonder whether our sins are fully paid for by Jesus, this verse reminds us that God has actually paid double for our sins. What that means, people have speculated, maybe it means that it reminds us that Jesus has paid not just for our sins, but the guilt of our sins as well. These verses also contain a prophecy of the message of John the Baptist, who we'll hear about more in the sermon today. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak to the heart of Jerusalem and call out to her. Her warfare really is over. Her guilt is fully paid for. Yes, she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice is calling out, in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. In the wasteland, make a level highway for our God. Every valley will be raised up, and every mountain and hill will be made low. The rugged ground will become level, and the rough places will become a plain. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh together will see it. Yes, the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice was saying, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry out? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like a wild flower in the countryside. Grass withers, flowers fade, when the breath of the Lord blows on them. Yes, the people are grass. Grass withers, flowers fade, but the word of our God endures forever. Get up on a high mountain, O Zion, you herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, you herald of good news. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. Look, God the Lord will come with strength, and his arm is ruling for him. Look, his reward is with him. The result of his work is in front of him. Like a shepherd, he will care for his flock. With his arm, he will gather the lambs. He will lift them up on his lap. He will gently lead the nursing mothers. Our second reading for today is from the Gospel of Luke. We'll read from chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. These words again are from the familiar story of Luke's Christmas account from Luke chapter 2. We see here what the shepherds saw that wonderful night. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. Please rise. Let's join now in confessing our faith in the one true triune God with the words of the Apostles' Creed on the top of page 6. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn, Comfort, Comfort Ye My People. Please rise. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whose coming we look forward to each day, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from the Gospel of Luke. We read from chapter 1, verses 29 through 34. The next day, John, and this is John the Baptist here, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I was talking about when I said, 'The one coming after me outranks me because he existed before me.' I myself did not know who he was, but I came baptizing with water so that he would be revealed to Israel." John also testified, "I saw the Spirit descend like a dove from heaven and remain on him. I myself did not recognize him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'The one on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I saw this myself and have testified that this is the Son of God." These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Our eyes are pretty amazing creations. Would you agree? I think if I had to choose one of my senses I would least like to lose, it would probably be my sight. One could argue that they are the most amazing part of our body. Think of the amazing things that we can see with our eyes, the vibrant colors. Think of how dim it would be if we couldn't see our Christmas decorations that we just put up last Sunday. Think of the landscapes and the nature scenes we can see and observe with our eyes. Think of the amazing and incredible things we can see that are beyond what our eyes can see. Things that are too small for the naked eye, but that we can see with instruments like microscopes. Or the things we can see way out in space beyond what we can see with our naked eyes, with telescopes. See the planets, the stars, and the amazing galaxies that God has created. When we see something amazing, what do we usually do? We usually get excited. We usually say something like, "Look! Stop, look, and listen." That is the theme for our worship services during this Advent season. And last week, we were focusing on the words of the prophet Isaiah that told us to stop doing evil. Learn to do what is good. Those words are a reminder that the Advent season is also a season of repentance. A time to remember that God desires that we stop the sins that we are committing. Turn from our sins and turn to Jesus. Stop to examine our thoughts, our words, and our actions, and focus on Jesus who washed away our sins, washed our sin-stained souls as white as snow, as Isaiah told us last week. Well, today we will look at ourselves through God's Word. When we look at ourselves in the light of God's Word, what we see often isn't very pretty. It does the opposite of get us excited. When we look at ourselves through the mirror of God's holy law, His Ten Commandments, what we very clearly see is our sins. We see how far that we've fallen. We see that we haven't always done the things that God has told us to do, the things that God expects of us, not in our actions, not in our words, and certainly not in our thoughts. The law reminds us and all human beings just how far we have fallen from perfection at the original creation. It reminds us that we are all too often selfish, self-centered, sinful people that do way too much looking at ourselves, looking into ourselves, and not looking outward to the interests and the needs of others. The Holy Spirit uses the law to expose any notions that we might have that we're really not all that bad. Well, compared to other people, we're not that bad. God does not compare us to other people. He compares us to the holy standard of His perfect law. When we look at the law, we are removed of any notions of us being somehow okay spiritually or being good in and of ourselves or by ourselves. Now the problem is when we become aware of our sinfulness, so we sometimes look in one of three wrong directions. So the law brings us to an awareness of our law, but we can take three wrong turns from there. First, when we're confronted with our sins and how offensive they are to our God, we can just simply stay there and look at our sins and dwell on them. When that happens, it's easy to fall into hopelessness, be overwhelmed by our sins, think only of them, and think there's no way that God can forgive me, especially since I keep doing these things over and over again. Second, when we are confronted with our sinfulness, when we are tempted, then we may be tempted to look for hope in other places that are not directed by God. For example, we might tend to look again at the law. Look at the law that convicted us of our sins in the first place and think, maybe if I just try harder, maybe I can find my hope and my comfort there. I will just work harder. Maybe if I do enough, God will overlook my sins. Or if I do enough, maybe I'll be able to work off my sins and He'll be happy with me. Some even go so far as to look to other religions, look to other gods or other types of spirituality that really have no power to remove our sins or save our souls. The third wrong direction is just flat out denial. Sometimes we look at our hearts, look at the sin of our hearts, and we can just blind ourselves and just reject God's law or ignore it altogether. Yeah, I hear what God says, but I don't believe it. I'm not going to make it bother me. I'm not going to let it bother me. We look then to ourselves. What do I think? I think this is not true, so I'm going to do whatever I please. I decide that I know better. Or maybe we try and distort or spin what we've done or not done into some positive light so that we can justify or excuse our behavior. When we face the reality of our sinfulness, God does not want us to dwell on and look only at our sins. He certainly does not want us to dwell on or look for hope in the law. Not to other gods, not to look within ourselves, we won't find the answers in any of those places. There is no hope. There is no joy or salvation in the law. The law is the thing that makes us aware of our sins. And while God does not want us to deny our sinfulness, He also calls on us to look somewhere else apart from the law. He calls us to look to Jesus alone for forgiveness and salvation. And in our text, we see John the Baptist point us where we are to look, which is our theme for today. He exclaims, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." I'm guessing John was pretty excited when he saw Jesus. I'm guessing he was pretty excited to point this out to other people who were around him. Because John, like so many others, had been waiting for this, looking for this, for a very long time. Looking for the coming of the one who had been promised by God to be the sacrificial lamb that all those Old Testament sacrifices were a picture of, were a symbol of, and had been for centuries. The one whom the prophet Isaiah wrote would come into this world, would be oppressed, afflicted, and killed, taking on himself the punishment, the sins that were actually ours. But how did John know? How did John know he wasn't saying to look and pointing at the wrong person? How did God know this was the one? That this was the anointed one, the Christ chosen by God to be the Savior? Well, God had told John what to look for. When John baptized Jesus in the Jordan River, what he saw and what he heard was proof that Jesus was the one chosen by God to be the Savior of the world. John, who was an eyewitness to these things then, tells us to look. Look to Jesus. We read again in our sermon text, verses 32 through 34. John also testified, I saw the Spirit descend like a dove from heaven and remain on him. Again, referring to Jesus' baptism. I myself did not recognize him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, the one on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I saw this myself, and I have testified that this is the Son of God. As the Son of God, as true God and true man, Jesus has accomplished for us what we, because of our sinfulness, could never do. As the Lamb of God, he has given us the cleansing forgiveness that we need. By his perfect obedience to God's law and his innocent death, Jesus has taken away the sins of the world, just like John said. Your sins, my sins, all sins. God the Holy Spirit opens our eyes then to look and to see all that Jesus has done and brings us out of our spiritual blindness, out of our spiritual darkness and deadness that we were born with, and brings us to the light and life of salvation. Not by giving us corrective lenses or a microscope or a telescope, but through his word. In his word, the Holy Spirit brings Jesus into focus, enables us to look to Christ as the Lamb of God who not only takes away the sins of the world, but also takes away your sins, takes away my sins. The punishment that we deserve because of our sins, he has taken away completely. And he opens our minds and our hearts and our eyes to see the truth of what he says in his word. Certainly the truth about our sinfulness and our desperate situation and how he would have us live our lives according to his law, but also the truth that we need to look only to Jesus for forgiveness, for eternal life, and salvation. Listen to John the Baptist. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Look, the writer of Hebrews also tells us, let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, who is the author of our faith and the one who brings it to its goal. In view of the joy set before him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of God's throne. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Yes, let us look to Jesus. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. And thanks be to God that because of Jesus, we may also look forward to eternal life in heaven. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You may be seated. If you have an offering to give to the Lord today, we invite you to do so by placing it in the offering plate in the entry of our church. We'll continue our service with our next hymn, All My Heart Again Rejoices. Please rise. For our prayers today, we pray special prayers for our brothers and sisters overseas in India and Tanzania. If you looked at the back of the bulletin, you saw some of the prayer requests for some of our missions. There was a deadly cyclone, basically a hurricane, that hit India and caused a lot of flooding. Tanzania also was hit with storms and flooding. As far as we know, none of our members or pastors over there were killed, but there were a number of people who lost property and suffered devastation. So we pray for them and the people of those regions. We also continue to pray for Wayne Bliss. He's suffering from an infection right now and is just very weak, and his recovery is not going as quickly as either he or Terry had hoped. We bring these prayers to our Father's throne. Are there any other prayer requests for today? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. O Lord, our Redeemer and Creator, we come before you on behalf of those who have suffered so much loss in connection with the deadly cyclone and severe flooding that has afflicted India, and the deadly flooding from the storms that afflicted Tanzania. We pray for your mercy and your protection on all the people of these countries. We specifically ask that you would protect, provide for, and bring about the restoration for all our brothers and sisters in Christ who have been afflicted. With the gospel of your unfailing love, comfort those who have lost loved ones in this storm. May they and we all find peace, hope, and patience, knowing that though all earthly things, even this earthly life, is destroyed, yet through faith in you, the crucified and risen one, we have blessings that no storm can destroy, that even death cannot take away. That is the forgiveness of sins, eternal life, and salvation, which you came to bring. May all those who have been affected by these storms be brought to such an awareness, looking in faith to you alone as their Savior, their protector, their provider, and their God. Dear Lord, we continue to pray for our brother Wayne. We ask you to bless his recovery from his infection and his injuries, and ask that if it be your will, he would recover fully. We ask that you would provide him relief from his pains, complete healing and restored strength according to your perfect will and timing. We also continue to pray, dear Savior, that you would be with Terry as she ministers to Wayne in this time of trial. Give her the strength, the patience, and wisdom that she needs, and remind both of them that you, dear God, dear Good Shepherd, are in control and are working all things out for their true eternal good. Comfort them both with your promises that you will never leave them nor forsake them, and that you are by their side, and they truly have nothing to fear. And finally, dear Savior, as we look for your coming during this season of Advent, we pray that you would come again quickly. Rescue us from this life that is so full of hardship and heartache. Bring us all home to be with you and all the believers who've gone before us in the mansions of heaven. We look forward with joyful expectation to that great day which you have promised us. In your all-knowing, all-loving name we pray these things, and in your name now we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. You may be seated. We close our service with our closing hymn, On Jordan's Bank, the Baptist Cry. Thank you. You may be seated. Good morning. A warm welcome to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus. And I pray that you've been blessed through the message you've heard today. A few announcements from the bulletin. Following our service today, we'll be having our choir and children's practice. Choir will meet first, and then children's practice will follow. We'll meet in the front of the church after the service today. This afternoon, I'll be heading to Hayward for our worship service there, and following that, heading to Southern California for our worship service tonight. We have our Christmas and Advent service with them at one of our members' homes tonight at 6:30. The directions are in the bulletin. This week, Tuesday, Bible instruction class with Gary at 11:30. Confirmation class at the usual time and usual day of Wednesday this week at 4. And then a reminder that we have our Wednesday evening Advent worship service at 7 p.m. We'll be gathering first here in the sanctuary for some scripture readings and some Christmas singing. And then we'll meet in the fellowship hall for cookies afterwards. If you'd like to bring some cookies and snacks to bring to share, please feel free to do so. That will be 7 o'clock this Wednesday. Board of Education, let's meet briefly in my office after church to see if we do have to have a meeting this Thursday. So meet with me immediately after church, and then choir and children will meet up here after that. We'll squeeze as much as we can into between 11 and 11:15. The food donation box is still there. Please continue to donate to that. It's getting full, so that's a good sign. And then the World Missions prayer list in the back of the bulletin, a reminder to continue to pray for our brothers and sisters overseas and all of our missionaries. Today marks 2 weeks from Christmas Eve. So 2 weeks from today, we'll be meeting here for our worship service and children's program on Christmas Eve at 10 a.m. And then the Christmas Day service will be in Hayward at 11 a.m. on Christmas Day, which is a Monday. Any other announcements for today? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.